This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The People's Republic of China. Remarks by the Secretary of State Antony Blinken in these last days are significant because this looks like a blueprint for the Biden administration's approach to the predatory nature of the People's Republic of China, threatening Taiwan, brutalizing the Uyghurs, intimidating the whole neighborhood with active combat forces in the Himalayas, and other advances that are sinister once you look past the money being flashed around. The secretary had this to say about China. China is the only country with both the intent to reshape the international order and increasingly the economic, diplomatic, military, and technological power to do it. Beijing's vision would move us away from the universal values that have sustained so much of the world's progress over the past 75 years. China is also integral to the global economy and to our ability to solve challenges from climate to COVID. Put simply, the United States and China have to deal with each other for the foreseeable future. I welcome Mary Kissel, my colleague, the Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, importantly, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State, Mr. Pompeo, who traveled often around the world talking about China's challenges, and a former member of the Wall Street Journal Editorial Board based in Hong Kong, observing the old Hong Kong, the free Hong Kong, now crushed by the People's Republic of China. That, Secretary Blinken says, must be dealt with economically, diplomatically, militarily, and technologically. Mary, a very good evening to you. Mr. Blinken has laid out a challenge for the rest of the century, not only his administration. How do you measure his assessment? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, there's a good deal of continuity, actually, between the direction that the Trump administration set out in the bilateral relationship with China and what Secretary of State Antony Blinken laid out. And in fact, he used in some parts of the speech very similar language. For instance, he talked specifically about reciprocity in the bilateral relationship, and he cited a litany of problems, including IP theft and Beijing state subsidies to their domestic industries, restrictions on inward investment. That's all very good, but my concern with the speech is that in the broader themes, it was also a little contradictory. Many in the press cited that line where he noted that Communist China was the most serious long-term challenge to the international order. Yes, that's true, although I wouldn't have used international order. I would have said freedom and democracy in plainer English. Many sorts of nations can impose order. We want the free order. That's a very important distinction. But then he went on to say, and I'm going to quote him here. He said, quote, "We don't seek to block China from its role as a major power, nor to stop China or any other country, for that matter, from growing their economy or advancing the interests of their people," end quote. Well, which one is it? Is it the greatest threat to our freedoms? And yet we're just going to allow them to continue to grow and to militarize and threaten their neighbors or not, right? It doesn't really gel as an argument, not to mention the fact that, you know, we're trying to stop, Putin's Russia from growing its economy. So some of the language in the speech was a little sloppy. I think at the end of the day, what you're really seeing is a Democrat administration that is looking at a bipartisan consensus on Capitol Hill, Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill, who have awakened to the threat from Communist China. And you have an executive branch that doesn't really want to be that hard on them, would prefer to return to dialogue, but is just finding that it can't, to some extent mugged by reality. And that's why you get this kind of a speech, which tries to strike a balance that just really isn't there.
Mary, I draw upon your experience because you were in Hong Kong during the period of apparent neutrality from Beijing. Hong Kong was developing its own understanding of its place in the People's Republic of China as a separate but equal node for trading, for development. That is no longer true. It's gone. Hong Kong is crushed. The people who can leave have gotten out. Traders no longer regarded as a safe posting. There are changes daily in what you can and can't do in Hong Kong. And then we come to your time in New York with the Wall Street Journal, and then we come to your time in the State Department. I believe what we're talking about is the spanning of time when China went from somewhere to develop American prosperity and work together, the World Trade Organization concept of the late 90s, to an active adversary in the world. Do I say that correctly? And when would you say that move happened? In the final 2 years of the Trump administration, throughout the Trump administration, when did we go from China is to be developed as a young player in the world of trade to China is a threat?
Well, I think it started to happen in 2015 when then candidate Trump was on the campaign trail and he was highlighting the imbalances and the unfairness of the trade relationship where we were sticking to the rules that had been laid out by the World Trade Organization and Beijing just wasn't. They were openly flouting it. And this had been an open secret for years, but I think it actually took someone as kind of bullish and bull-like as Trump using such plain language to really push it into the public awareness. And so then after he won the presidency, you saw those 4 years, just a constant stream of information being fed to Capitol Hill, to the public through the press and speeches, et cetera, that I think just raised awareness and about what was actually going on. And yet still, just to go back to Secretary Blinken's speech, it still included the word cooperation in the speech. This has been a theme where they say we'll cooperate where we can and compete where we must. And, you know, that's all well and good. But at some point you have to ask, where's the cooperation from the other side? I'm all for cooperation, but we have to be realistic about whether or not it's happening. And if we continue to just give them a free pass, for instance, there's been no accountability for their behavior in not just creating this virus that's killed millions of people and tanked the global economy, but the cover-up of it and the vast human rights violations and the way that they used and abused the World Health Organization. Where's the accountability there? Where's the reciprocity? Where's the fairness? You just had Michelle Bachelet from the United Nations do a Potemkin tour of Xinjiang, which Beijing is using as propaganda. Where's the reciprocity? Where's the accountability? That's what was missing from that speech. And it's unfortunate because I think it was just a big missed opportunity.
The speech again said Mr. Blinken, under President Xi, the ruling Chinese Communist Party has become more repressive at home and more aggressive abroad, inarguably. He then goes on to list what China isn't doing transnationally, internationally. We see that in how Beijing has perfected mass surveillance within China, exported that technology to more than 80 countries, how it's advancing unlawful maritime claims in the South China Sea, undermining peace and security, freedom of navigation and commerce, how it's circumventing or breaking trade rules, harming workers and companies in the United States, but also around the world, and how it purports to champion sovereignty and territorial integrity while standing with governments that brazenly violate them. I'll stop there, Mary. What's the difference between this and an enemy? I don't understand. We're not talking about trade here. We're talking about China breaking all the rules. And yet if I understand Mr. Blinken, self-interest in dealing with China on what issues? Is there anything besides climate we're going to deal with China on?
Well, it actually reminds me of former Vice President Mike Pence's first two speeches on China back when Rex Tillerson was Secretary of State and really wasn't paying much attention to China. Pence kind of took over that portfolio and he gave two speeches that were essentially just litanies of complaints with no plan for what we were going to do about it. Blinken's language is very similar to that. Now, to their credit, I think that The NSC and the State Department under Biden has done fantastic work knitting together our alliances in Asia, re-engaging in the region and places like Southeast Asia, which is really, really important. And I think that's great. But there just isn't the sense of urgency that's necessary here. I mean, if Putin's invasion of Ukraine has taught us anything, it's that we need to think, you know, a little more broadly about the capacity of these authoritarian regimes to challenge us and to do it militarily and to do things that, you know, we would never countenance. They don't think the way we think. They don't behave the way that we think they're going to behave, even if they are linked to us economically. So again, you know, I commend the secretary for giving a speech that was far tougher than anything we ever saw in the Obama administration. It was probably tougher than what some in his party wanted him to deliver, most notably the Commerce Secretary, who wants to reduce tariffs on China. But you still just see, you know, this instinct to try to balance, to accommodate, to acquiesce. And, you know, hopefully, you know, it will, the language will toughen and they'll come up with more of a plan. But I just think that time is running short, and I didn't get much comfort out of this address.
Mary Kissel, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, now Executive Vice President Stevens Incorporated. We turn to Ukraine next because the secretary also making remarks about Ukraine. There's an active conflict underway. Things change hourly. The administration has made a decision about another weapon systems to Ukraine. When we come back, I'm John Batchelor.